He represents California's 2nd Assembly District, and that's a lot of coastal Sonoma County and Santa Rosa as well. Assemblyman Jim Wood is on the line. Assemblyman, nice to talk to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well, sir. It's a beautiful day, and we are on the road to recovery. But as we were talking to Supervisor Rabbit about, you know, that road has some potholes in it and some twisty turns and unexpected detours as well. Is that what you're finding on the state level?
Yes, it's going to be challenging. Yesterday was meeting with the state insurance commissioner and to talk about some of the challenges folks might be facing with their insurance and
yeah,
things
he's
we can
been
do.
Readily accessible for us, and that's been very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been amazing. He actually called me the day, I think it was the October 9th, he called and said, hey, just want to let you know anything we can do to let us know. And I've talked to him several times, and he is earnest about this, and he is on it, and he's doing everything he can to protect the people who lost so much in these fires.
And speaking of that, it is an insurance issue to a large degree because the cost of rebuilding is so much different than what we've been paying on a monthly basis to our insurance carriers and what they say is the cost of what our coverage is anyway.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the lessons here is that I think people really need to look closely at their policies.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
I always thought when somebody said replacement cost, that meant that my house would be replaced.
It's the same, right? Yeah.
Apparently, that's not the case. You know, there's different levels of replacement cost, and one is called guaranteed replacement cost. And after the Oakland Hills fires, most insurance plans stopped writing those policies. And so now we're looking at, you know, how do we make sure the consumers know what they've really got, and so that they have a catastrophic loss like this, they'll be able to rebuild. But I always thought replacement cost meant you got your house back.
Right, exactly, as if. Yeah, but that definitely is not the case. And, I mean, some of it makes sense because, obviously, the cost of labor and the cost of materials now is different than it was when we took out our policies to begin with.
Yeah.
So part of that makes sense, but it's still a shock to the system. And I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think everybody who had any kind of damage is looking at their insurance policy and going, okay, obviously some revision is needed there.
Yeah, and I think just in general, I mean, I had a good friend that had a business fire many years ago and made me go back and look at my insurance policy for my business and realize I was underinsured. And the cost to get to the right level of insurance was really pretty minimal. And it's just, it's not something we do every year. And I think you don't need to necessarily do it every year, but you also need to consider doing it occasionally and just make sure you're insured right.
And speaking of insurance, we can move over to health care. And California is kind of an anomaly. You know, we've got the Affordable Health Care Act, and we've acted on it from the get-go. And still, even when there's so much up in the air on a national stage as far as health care goes, California is still into the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, one of the bills that I ran this year was the Trump administration made moves to restrict the amount of time for the open enrollment period. I ran a bill late in the session after that happened and said, nope, we're not going to do that in California. So we actually have a longer enrollment period. And guess what? We're seeing more and more people enroll, and that's the goal. So as we see push back in Washington, we're doing everything we can in California to push back and protect people here.
I guess there's sort of a reprieve, Jim, because President Trump has not been able to pass a health care reform bill and basically remove Obamacare from the equation. So it seems like that's a little bit of a respite for Californians involved in that particular process.
Yes and no. I think there's things like in the Senate tax cut bill that's supposedly going to be voted on today, I believe is an opportunity to eliminate the individual mandate. And so they're using all sorts of tricks and gimmicks to try to, to what I would call death by a thousand cuts to try to do that. So, but they haven't been successful in a wholesale rollback, but he's trying all sorts of other tricks and we'll see how it plays out.
And speaking of that, what we used to call pork, everything being added but the kitchen sink to existing bills or new bills, you know, part of the thing that that certainly Northern Californians are pretty upset about still is disaster relief on the national stage and why it does not include wildfire relief.
Yeah, and that is really, really frustrating. We met about a week or so ago, about 10 days ago, with a member of Congress that Congressman Thompson brought out, who's on the committee that actually would appropriate some of this money. And, you know, if you're in Florida and you're in Texas, or the Virgin Islands, you're getting this relief. You're getting it.
As
and,
well you should. Yeah.
As well you should. But in California, we're not. And the cleanup costs are about $1 billion for these fires, $1 billion. And there's one man standing in the way of making sure that that happens. And right now it's his discretion whether this gets done. And so far we haven't been able to get him to compel him to do that. And it's really, really frustrating to have someone ignoring the most populous state in the country that has endured a catastrophic loss, the most costly wildfire in the history of California.
Yeah, and but he's not all that fond of Californians. It seems,
no.
You know, we keep getting proof and more proof and more proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this one is a real, it feels like a very in your face.
Yeah. It feels pretty personal. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And
does.
I'm hoping that in, you know, some way, shape or form. And as you said, you know, our congressmen have certainly been, you know, banging the drum on adding California wildfire victims to this relief bill. So, you know, you just have to hope that something is going to be able to be done about that. Speaking of the wildfires, Jim, there is a bill that you have something to do with that has to do with preventing PG&E from passing on the costs of the wildfires to the customers.
Yeah, I'm signing on as a co-author after the first of the year to a bill that's being introduced by Senator Jerry Hill, and Senator McGuire is signing on as well, and I think Mark Levine. I can't remember for sure, but basically, you know, I kind of feel like we don't know who's at fault right now, and that will come out. And if somebody is at fault, I don't think that the consumer should have to pay for that. I just feel it's fundamentally unfair that all the ratepayers should have to pay if somebody is proven to be at fault for something. And so I just think it's fundamentally an unfair thing. And we'll see where the bill goes.
Yes, we will. And of course, you know, that's one of the big question marks for us right now in terms of who was responsible for the fires. I think it's our natural inclination as human beings to wonder about that and want to know the reason, even though, you know, it's obviously not going to have any effect looking back. We hope that it might have an effect looking forward into ways to do things differently to hopefully avoid this thing to some degree. And to some degree, those 80 mile an hour winds that night certainly had something to do with it also. But it is it's a big deal. And I do think that there is much merit to waiting until Cal Fire steps forward and says, here's why.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody until we actually know.
Yep.
So you know, the bill may never be introduced. You know, we'll see what happens. But,
yes, we will see, and probably, I don't know. I'm hoping fairly soon in the new year that we will get that word, whatever it's going to be, from Cal Fire. And Jim, can you hang on a few more minutes? More stuff
of
to
course.
Talk to you about. All right, let's talk marijuana when we come back on KSRO. Okay. Thanks for coming back with us, Jim.
Good. My pleasure.
So here we are about 4 weeks away from the start of the new year, and there is going to be legalized recreational marijuana in the state per our, you know, we requested it. We said yes to it. But it sounds like so many parts of the state are not ready, are putting it off. And in some cases, those are the places that we would consider among the most liberal, like San Francisco, Marin County, all have said, nope, we're not ready. We're not going to do that as of the first of January. So where do we stand as Californians as to whether we're going to be able to walk into a shop on New Year's Day and buy some pot if we want to?
Well, I think it's good. Obviously, it's going to depend on which county or which city you're in. It's been a challenge. I think that one of the concerns I had about Prop 64 was that it accelerated all the deadlines and really pushed to get all of this implemented really, really quickly. And it's clear, I mean, the state just came out with their emergency regulations about a week ago. And so it's clear that a lot of cities are not sure, you know, what that means for them. And that's why they have taken more time to study this issue. San Francisco actually just released, I think, yesterday, their regulations, but they've already said they're not going to allow until a date further past the first. But it's complicated. It's really complicated, and I think, you know, it behooves people to, you know, take the right approach. Every city's different. And do what's right for your city, for your, you know, your the folks that live in your communities, and roll it out the right way if that's your desire.
Is the difficulty mostly in the restrictions, Jim, in terms of whether it's you know, however many yards from you know, a school or something like that? Is that the challenging part, or is it the growing of it on a a recreational basis?
I think it's all of that and more. I think that, you know, while cities and counties actually did vote for it, when it comes down to people interacting with their city councils and their boards of supervisors, there are people that are speaking up saying, no, we really don't want that. We're not concerned about people consuming it, but we don't want the businesses in our town. And so I think that we're seeing that in a variety of areas that, I don't have a problem with people using the product, but I don't want to see a store, or I don't want to grow next to me, or I don't want to manufacture whatever. So it's fascinating to watch because it'll plays out. I think in time, as people begin to see that, you know, it's potentially it's not the boogeyman, that people will relax a little bit. But we'll see what happens. But it is, I think, it's, you know, people are cautious, and you know, hey, I'm an elected official. When there's, you know, 40 people, you know, yelling at you in opposition to something, and only one person in support, you're sometimes there's a little bit more that vocal outcry can have an influence on the way you look at things.
We like immediate gratification, as you know, Jim. And I think from a psychological standpoint, California has been ready for legalized pot, recreational pot, for a long time. And so because our mindset is sort of already there, you know, there's part of us that can't figure out why it's taken so long to get the logistics right, you know?
Oh, well, it is complicated. Just the cultivation, the growing is going to be really complicated because, you know, there's real concerns about, you know, the effects on the watersheds, on our electric grid. If you're growing indoors, there's a lot of electricity goes into that. What about all the fertilizers and pesticides and all those kinds of things?
Sure.
So it is complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And what's an appropriate dose? I mean, do you go in and, you know, we live in this world, you know, a lot of these edibles in particular are a real challenge for people because, you know, an edible may have 100 milligrams, for example, and maybe and then we know the state dose is 10 milligrams per serving, but that brownie may have 100 milligrams, and we're programmed, you know, I'm gonna eat a brownie, you know.
Yeah.
And
well,
whoops,
I guess there's obviously some education that's got to go on around that, but
oh yeah,
you know, for those of us who've been around a little while, we all certainly remember that taking a hit off a joint was different than eating a brownie, and you should take that into consideration. And edibles, I guess, are just more widespread and available. And that's part of the restriction issue, too, because you have to make sure that those marijuana edibles are not in certain shapes or certain colors or are, you know, something that would be alluring to underage folks.
Kids, yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. So it'll evolve, and I think the regulations as they roll out, I mean, regulations are also will evolve, so there'll be some changes, and so it'll happen. It's just not going to be instant in every city and county in California, and you know, there will be opportunities. I suspect that, you know, people, if they really want, they'll find places.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people to tell them where to go.
I think the one of the most important things that you said about this whole thing is we do have to get to the point in this process where we realize as California society that this is not the boogeyman, that life as we know it is probably not going to change drastically because pot is legal in California.
No.
Well, I'm hoping that your crystal ball is in good working order, Assemblyman Wood, because, you know, next 2018 right around the corner, and there is that governor's race in California coming up.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Any thoughts about that moving forward?
Oh, there's a governor's race coming up.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it seems like you know, there are the folks in the lead, at least in the psychological lead. Again, we go back to that, but Gavin Newsom, is he a lock for this thing?
I don't, you know, at this point, I would say it's truly say. I think, I mean, certainly Gavin leads the field. There's no question about that. He has from the very beginning, and I've had contact with all of the Democrats running, and on multiple occasions actually, and you know, I'm looking for, you know, I have things I'm looking for, and when I'm satisfied that candidate is truly going to be the champion for the things that are important to me, then I'll make that decision. But right now I'm watching the field, I'm talking and I'm listening, and I haven't committed to anyone.
Well, you're in a unique position too, of course, because you get to hang out with these folks, and or they get to hang out with you, and
access. Less than you might think.
Oh, already, huh?
Less than you might think.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not like I walk into Governor Brown's office and sit down and put my feet on his desk. It doesn't work that way.
Well, that's a damn shame. And really, Jerry's got to do something about that before he leaves office. And but of course, we have Gavin Newsom is one. And the other person who is galloping toward recognition more and more, of course, is Senator Kamala Harris. And, you know, she is, I'm not sure at what point she became a rock star, but she did.
Well, but she's not running for governor.
No, she's not running for governor, but she may run for a higher office at some point within our foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And also your reaction is very interesting. I'm going to take note of all of this so that when we get closer to the actual races and stuff, I'm going to say, Assemblyman Wood, remember when you said, or remember when you didn't say?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So, well, it's a strange way to make a living, what you do. I'll say that.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Also a very important one, particularly at this stage of the game. And I know that you've been intrinsically involved in a lot of recovery efforts because of the district you're in and because of where you live, too.
Well, it's you know, it's deeply personal for all of us in Sonoma County, and I'm certainly going to give my all to this and do everything we can to help people recover, rebuild, and you know, you never know the twists and turns that happen in life, and nobody expected this. And I think we have a great delegation of legislators, champions for us at the federal level. Jared Huffman and Mike Thompson,
yeah.
Have and you know, and Mike certainly has tremendous experience, and is on a committee that's significant, and Jared as well, and so our state officials, we have a really good group, and we work well together, and I think that's going to be really critical for us as we recover.
Those are words to live by for all of us, because we need to be able to work together with all factions in this process to be able to move forward. Your report card so far, Jim, on the recovery?
Wow. I would say A-.
Very good.
I'd say there's always room for improvement. But I would say A-. I think we've done, I think the federal government, FEMA has stepped up really well. The State Office of Emergency Services has been excellent.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think everybody would like this to all happen immediately. It's not going to happen that way. But my goodness, I think the progress we're making is pretty amazing. And we will rebuild, and we will be stronger. I really believe that.
Yeah, it seems like leaps and bounds already. It really does. And I think really once, again, from a psychological standpoint, once we have cleared the debris from the fires and we can envision that blank slate, then the idea of what will come next will be easier to envision.
It will. It will. So, and I'm going to do this again. I've done this. I told you this personally when we met a while back. I want to say once again, the coverage on KSRO, your role, everybody there throughout this has been fabulous. It's a tremendous service to the community. I can't thank you enough. You know, the number of listeners you've probably picked up because of this has probably been large, but tremendous service to the community. Thank you so much for everything you've done, Pat, and all of the crew at KSRO up and down the line, all the other shows. Really can't thank you enough for keeping people informed, keeping us up to date, and staying engaged with us on this issue. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for those kind words. And I'll tell you, the commitment as it is for you and for everybody who lives here, the commitment is ongoing for KSRO and for me personally. We're going to be going through this process, the recovery process, with you and keeping you as up to date as we can, because this part is equally as important as that last part. So thank you for that, and look forward to our next conversation.
Great, thanks. I look forward to it.
All right.
Have a great day.
That is Assemblyman Jim Wood, representing much of the Sonoma Coast and the northern half of Santa Rosa and beyond.